Well, we keep talking to entrepreneurs, and that means we are radio entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and welcome back to all our listeners. And we are being hosted by the wonderful law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers in the Prudential Center. That means we're on the record with Mark Furman from Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers.
Hi, Jeffrey. Looking forward to hearing from Greg Siegel.
Yeah, me too. And you let the cat out of the bag. That's all right. Greg Siegel, CEO of Alice. Who's Alice?
Who is Alice? That's right. That's what everyone asks. So Alice is a software company here, high-tech startup. We're a VC-backed company here in Boston. We are focused on corporate gifting and turning corporate gifting into a very programmatic system for companies. So think about it in terms of companies are always sending swag and incentives and rewards and meals and trips and tickets, and yet not a single one of those companies can actually tell you the ROI on that. So what we do is we hyper-personalize it. We use AI to tell you exactly who the person is that you're sending something to, and then tell you what you should actually send to them as well. And then track all of that for ROI behind the scenes.
Could you do that with nonprofits too, for people who, you know, because a lot of nonprofits are looking for repeat gifts. Mm-hmm. So you want to give gifts to the people who give you gifts.
Correct.
So you can do that as well?
Yeah, 100%. You know, for us right now, we're being very hyper-focused on, you know, tech startups. Obviously, you know, as a startup, you want to be as focused as possible. But we have the benefit, the pro and the con of the fact that every single company can use us, every department can use us inside of every company, and every department can use it for multiple use cases. So we've had many NPOs, many, companies like staffing companies, furniture companies, you know, you sort of name it. Anyone that's trying to sell anything or build a relationship can use Alice, because you're basically saying, I want to invest in this relationship with somebody else, and that's it. So donor is a really... has been a pretty popular one for companies to reach out to us to use us for, and especially because they are sending off gifts, and a lot of times they send off really bad things, and a lot of times they want to say, hey, my money that I'm spending shouldn't be going to, you know, junky stuff, you know, that I'm trying to send off to the folks that are actually giving me lots of money.
So why Alice? How did you get the name?
Everyone always asks that.
The name,
the spelling,
sort of forces
right?
you to ask.
Yes. So it was a very calculated name. Specifically because my last company that I started and sold was called One Pica, and nobody could spell it, nobody could say it. It was O-N-E space P-I-C-A, and everyone called it Una Pica or One Pica, and I'm like, we're not Pikachus, you know, that's just, we're not like a kid show or something, yeah. So this is a very calculated one where I said, look, this is going to be an A name, because I want it to be at the top of the list. I want it to be a person's name, ideally a female name, because we're going to be saying like, hey, can you ask Alice for something, especially if you're going to be, you know, an AI system you're going to be interacting with. I wanted to be able to purchase the .com. And the last thing is I'm sort of a domain geek, so I have a whole slew of domains in my portfolio. And I love five-letter domains. And when I saw Alice, I just loved, you know, I love the name. As a whole. And the last thing was it has a Y in it. And I know that's different than, the Alice with an I. And I love the Y because I feel like at some point in the very near future, we can use that from a marketing perspective. Like why? Because you're trying to build better relations with your customers, you know, or why? Because you need to drive more sales, or why? Because you need to get more donors, you know, or things like that.
So Greg, let's go in the Wayback Machine. That's before let's your time. Let's talk about your evolution into Alice. What's your background?
So my background is I was a fine arts major. I went to Boston University here back in the late 90s.
That's good training for entrepreneurship.
Yes. Well, I'd say yes and no, right? So I think it's good in the fact that it basically taught you how to sell, because you're basically trying to get people to tell you, say, like, why is my design really good, or why is my art really, really good? So that was good. We drew a lot of naked people and painted a lot of naked people for about 3 years. So that wasn't really great for business. But from a like aesthetics and understanding design and, color theory and all the other things that come with it, that was great. But while I was at BU, my sophomore year, I fell in love with computer science. So I was always torn between the art and the technology side of things, and really wanting to, understand how do I actually, you know, bring those two things together. I was always an entrepreneur, always wanted to start my own business, and sort of did that starting in my sophomore year of college, and then got going. So that company was an agency. It was a professional services agency. I had a couple of small stints at jobs, you know, previous to that, more on the technology side of things, and the usability side of things. And then when I started my company, I was 21, I guess, 22 or so, and then grew that to be one of the largest e-commerce agencies. Fully bootstrapped. So I've been both on the bootstrap side of things, and now I'm on the VC side, you know, on the heavy VC side. And, you know, that business grew to about 100 people, sold that company to a holding company out in San Francisco, stayed on. That company grew to about 500 people. And then, you know, post that was playing around with a few different ideas, and then started Alice.
So you really are an entrepreneur.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I think all of us are entrepreneurs.
Where are you going with Alice? What are we going to see in the next 2-3 years?
There's a lot of stuff coming right now.
Because now that you're VC funded, there's a different pressure.
Yeah, we have very, very big goals, you know, for the company, and attainable goals. You know, like one of the key things that you have to understand when you're VC backed is you have to align yourselves with investors who understand and truly get what the company's all about and also how to actually grow the company. And there's a difference. And we're very, very lucky because we had 15 funds that wanted to invest in us. So we're very, very able to pick the funds that we felt like, you know, aligned around the business the most. And one of the key things that I looked for that I had a lot of experience and a lot of advice from my friends were find folks that were empathetic and actually were operators prior to becoming a VC. Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference between just saying, hey, we're going to take on money. And, you know, this is somebody who's only dealt on the finance side of things and just saying, hey, push your numbers, push your numbers, push your numbers, rather than saying, how do I build a truly sustainable business? And how do I make sure that I'm delivering enterprise value to my customers? And that is a repeatable thing, rather than saying, hey, just start selling anything and just get into these companies and then basically tanking the business on that side. So that was a very big, you know, I'm very appreciative because I'm obviously taking VC later in my life than, you know, than most folks that are there, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. And that was a really good lesson, you know, early on. So our goals, you know, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years are very, very big. You know, I think we can, by the time we get to 2024, 2025, you know, we should be able to be in the 100 million or multiple hundreds of millions of revenue. Revenue is not everything here. You know, the bigger thing here is the impact that we're making on the world and also the way that we're actually able to take this spend that companies are making on all the swag and gifts and incentives and everything else that's there and really turn that into a whole nother platform generating and building relationships with individuals inside of organizations.
Well, I mean, you're making, you know, most businesses were sitting, you're sitting with two people who own professional service firms.
Yep.
So gifting is not unusual.
Yep.
But I don't think that there has always been a relationship between the gifting every year and being able to generate new business.
Right.
And you're saying you can finally make that connection for all service businesses.
Yep. Yep. 100. Think about this. When you're in the corporate setting right now, all corporations right now are just saying, I want to send something off either because it's habitual or they have to. They feel like they have to. It's like a necessity.
Right.
Or it's because, you know, they're trying to like accomplish some sort of a business goal, but they're doing it because they're thinking about themselves first. They're not thinking about the other person. If you go into the personal world, like with your family right now, you're going to be thinking about what does that person really want and what can I do to actually get that thing for that person, right? Why is that not taking place in the corporate world, right? Or in the nonprofit world or whatever it might be, where it's just like, well, I need to get this done and that's it. The other big challenge that you have is in the personal world, it's very much one-to-one. You have like 10 people you're gonna buy gifts for, right? And that's it. In the business world, it has to be done at scale. So how do you take that personalization and how do you actually, you know, bring that to scale? That's what we solve there. And then the second piece of that is saying, well, we can not only make this personal and help you to understand who this person is as an individual, but also figure out how and when and where to actually invest into that relationship by sending them things that they actually want at the right times that in turn, sort of what we call hack trust, you know, hacks trust, which helps you build those relationships, you know, with these individuals. And then in turn, obviously drives business results, you know, for that as well. But the reality is that this is an approach. This is something where you have to be like corporations have to think about changing their mindset around how they're actually investing into these, you know, individuals, their prospects or their, you know, employees or whether it's their customers or their, you know, their donors or whoever it might be. And that's a very important, you know, a distinction. And once you do that and you think about them in the same mindset as the personal side of things, now you're actually, you know, being able to build that relationship and be able to build that trust that you haven't been able to do before.
So, Greg, if somebody needs to find you or Alice, how would they do that?
Go greg@alice.com, greg@alyce.com. I'd give you my cell phone, but I'm getting enough spam calls as it is already. That's the easiest way, or connect with me on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Again, we've been speaking with Greg Siegel, CEO of Alice. And I think that's definitely one of these companies you're going to want to track and take a look at. And I want to thank our co-host, Mark Furman, from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.